that there would be more support for this, because another program I really also want to highlight is we have the we have a program for underrepresented workers to provide them with funds as well. During COVID, the amount of people that had been pushed into independent contractor work meant that they were not initially eligible for benefits, but we're all paying taxes. And one of our big pushes was for the excluded workers funds so that these independents could also be included as legitimate taxpayers and, you know, workers in the society. So that's definitely one of our things that, you know, it is not just about, like I said, it is not just about immigrant rights, but it's about everybody's rights. It's about the entire community being able to sustain itself, sustain each other, receiving the support that we all need at different times.
Absolutely. And, you know, and your support is well-founded. And unfortunately, there are there's rhetoric that says, you know, about anti-immigrant rhetoric, which doesn't really realize that immigrants are the most motivated people that come here and to work and do whatever they have to do to make, to create a life and to make a better life. And it is, you know, it is just amazing to see, especially even here in the city. You know, you see a lot of different building projects, and you see just, and we've had a, you know, pretty hot summer, and you just see people just working and doing what they need to do. And there are many jobs, especially in agriculture, that Americans won't or will not do.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's be real here. I hate the stereotype of, you know, we're all out there just having siestas every day. And also I wanted to just clarify, I was born in Peru. I came here as a student. I worked my way through the system. I have a very strong and clear understanding of what it's like to go through the system. We all come here in different ways. And it is frustrating when I hear like, oh, you know, immigrants are taking away jobs from Americans. Let me tell you, the jobs we are filling, I have very few neighbors who would want those jobs. It is hard work. It is hard being out there, tilling the fields, caring for the elderly, you know, getting paid minimum wage, taking care of children, doing outside work, laborious work. You know, we are not here to do any of that. We want to come here. We want to work. We want to make our own way. We want to be able to help our families back home and help our families here. You know, we wouldn't put ourselves through that entire travel system or having to cross, you know, at Paso Juarez or any of that. I mean, believe me, that stuff's scary to go through. If we were just looking for a place to have a siesta, if you know what I mean.
Well, absolutely. It is enormously difficult and a lot of hardships that I doubt that most people can even imagine, let alone do, and then come here and then just work and work and work with such an incredible work ethic and be so happy to be here where, you know, there are people that live here that, you know, when you're from a place, you don't really realize all of the benefits that you have here versus other places where some of those opportunities are not available.
Right. Or the opportunities are there, but the infrastructure and the economy is not there to give you the support that you need to survive. You know, and right now the United States has a stable dollar, which makes it stand out as one of the more desirable places to go to work. I mean, let's just be real. You know, it's really hard when you are coming from a country, for example, Venezuela or even Argentina, where the currency is highly unstable. The government is unstable and people are starving and people, even when they have jobs, don't have enough to sustain themselves. So, you know, I think and honestly, everyone here in the U.S. came from somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys are not the originals. Yes. Let's just clarify that.
And some of us not willingly came here. So,
yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's a whole blend of that. And unfortunately, I think what happens is that through time and ease, you know, people forget that their grandparents or their great-great-grandparents had the same journey that many of us current immigrants are going through now. And I think it's also very easy to point the finger at immigrants when there's problems that are that might feel insurmountable. For example, the housing crisis. We did not cause the housing crisis. Right. That was right. The banks. But, you know, who wants to take on the banks? It's just so much easier to point at somebody you don't really know and feel like, well, I can have an effect on your life, but I don't know what I could do to affect this bank, you know?
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
Hello, WGXC listeners. This is Matthew Whitney Harrington, Camp Hill Hudson Community Dinner Return. Come one, come all. Community Dinner is back at Camp Hill Hudson on Tuesday, September 5th at 5:30 p.m. in evening time at our Solaris building at 360 Warren Street, Hudson, New York. Come experience community meal, new people, and old friends over a fresh prepared meal with lovely vegetables meal by local volunteers. We'd be glad to see you there, and please bring a friend.
Waif Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Waif Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit mohican.com.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, featuring first-run and repertory films at movie theaters located in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, as well as live music, filmmaker conversations, staged readings, community events, variety shows, magic, comedy, and more. The Hudson Valley Picture Show traveling series brings cinema to locations around the region. The latest schedules, as well as upcoming pop-up events at the Community Theater in Catskill, can be found at upstatefilms.org.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, you're a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy that took a little nap, woke up and didn't know where he was.
We'll be right back. Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Jada. I am from a lot of places.
I'm Adelia, and I am from Ghent, and again, New York, and I'm 11 years old.
My name is Fatia. I'm 9 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books you love, books you hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today. I'm curious what you all have to share this week.
I am, I'm in sixth grade, and I'm reading A Wrinkle in Time in class, and we just started it. And I think last time we talked, I told you I was going to read it, but we just started it. And now I am reading it, and I'm only one chapter in, but it's really interesting.
Can you tell our listeners what it's about? Like, do you have the description? I know you haven't read that much, so.
It's about a girl whose dad, I don't know how to explain this, but whose dad disappears, and I think they travel, and then the kids have to travel to a different universe, and a different, yeah, I think so, to find their dad, and it's an adventure.
Yeah, I like that book a lot. I read it, I think I read it as a kid, but I'm not positive, but I definitely read it as an adult and really enjoyed it. We had it as a Battle of the Books book 1 year too, which was fun. When the libraries do Battle of the Books, the librarians have to make up the trivia questions for the battles. And I remember having fun writing and editing trivia questions for that one. There's just a lot of interesting dialogue and stuff happening. Very different, very fun. That's cool that you're reading that in school. I feel like school assigned books are sometimes hit or miss. Like some books, I mean, every reader, you know, every book has its own reader. So somebody, like half your class might love Wrinkle in Time, half might hate it. But I don't know. I feel like that's a really good one. I would guess a lot of people will enjoy it.
Yeah, I've tried to read it before, but I never really got anywhere with it. But I'm excited that we're reading it because I actually have to read it.
Yeah, sometimes you need that little push. How about you, Jada? What have you been reading? Or what book would you like to share?
One of them is Catherine Todd Brady. And it's about this girl during the medieval times, and her father is, I think, a noble, and she does not want to get married to these people. And then she ends up getting engaged to someone she really doesn't want to marry. And so the story is, you know, like kind of figuring out what she's going to do. She doesn't want to marry. She doesn't want this situation. And it's really funny. And the cover is of her, you know, looking towards the viewer. And she's holding a rope that's connected to a bucket with water in it. And it's tilting over a noble that's standing in the doorway. So it was like she's about to dump water on him. So it's really funny. And there are a lot of jokes in it and stuff. So yeah, it's a nice book. Also, it won a Newbery Honor Award. So yeah.
That's by Karen Cushman?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I haven't read that one, but it's been on my read-to-read list for a long time. And there's
a read-to-read list.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one. So my mom and my niece and I have a like Zoom book club where we read books together over Zoom. And my niece is, who's been on the show before, is at an age where she would like that book, I think. But we haven't gotten to it yet. So I've been sort of saving it to read with them potentially. But there's also, I can't remember if it's a movie or a series, like a limited series adaptation, but there's a video like movie adaptation of that as well that I want to see, but I'm waiting until I read the book. I'll have to hold off. Catherine Called Birdie. She seems like a fun character from what I've seen of that book.
Oh, I think I read that book. Or I was going to read it. I think I read that book, actually. Yeah. I forgot, but I think I read it. I don't know. Because I remember I either had it and I didn't read it, or I had it and I read it. Because then I also read another one about a medieval girl who's, it's called something, I don't know, Ella Enchanted. Yeah, I read that one. And that was more of like a Cinderella story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also haven't read that one. I think when I was younger, I wasn't as into historical fiction. I'm more into it now.
Yeah, I really like it. It's interesting.
Yeah, those are both popular books. All three of them, actually, including Wrinkle in Time. Thanks for sharing, Jada. Fatia, what did you want to share today?
Today I'm going to share a poem.
Great.
The poem is about birthdays. May you know, may you only know, joy that makes you share, troubles that make you thrill, sadness that makes you care, hope that makes you dream, failure that makes you succeed, success that makes you be gorgeous, friends that make you laugh, passion that makes you live, love that makes you love more.
That's a lovely poem. Thank you for sharing that. I have a couple of things I could share. One is a book I recently read that is a graphic novel that I guess is a middle grade graphic novel, but it seems like it's sort of on the boundary between like easy reader and like middle grade. It's pretty short and sweet, and I think younger readers would really like it. So somebody that's just starting to get into those kind of comics would like it. It's called Skeletor the Decomposer, and it's by Emily Ettlinger, and it's her debut graphic novel. Although I was thinking I recognize the name, so I don't know if I've seen comics by her before that aren't graphic novels, or if I'm just confusing her with someone else, but it's her debut graphic novel, and it is about a character named Skeletor, who is a skeleton who lives in the town of Little Caskoton. And the other people that live in the town are not skeletons. They're human people. But she lives in a graveyard just outside of town. And she spends her evenings hanging out with her bat friend and sneaking down into the village where she likes to listen to the band practice. And she really dreams of becoming a musician. But she doesn't have an instrument that she plays yet. But one night she is snooping on the local band and she finds out that they are short one player for their band. And there is a summer festival coming up where they will be performing. And so Skeletor gets the idea that she should try to impress the band by playing music publicly. And then they will want to have her in the band. So she steals some instruments from one of the band members' sheds, and they're kind of funky instruments, like a little rough, and her music, unfortunately, every time she plays, people just run away screaming. So this is happening, and I guess the story is, like, will she eventually find her way into the band and live her dream of becoming a musician that people listen to and cheer for? So it's a cute little story, I think. Could be fun with Halloween coming up if you want like a not so spooky tale with some spooky elements. And again, I think it would be good for younger readers that are just getting started with graphic novels. That's really cute. So that's Skeletor the Decomposer by Emily Ettlinger. I can also share some recent releases that I have not read but would like to. And I can read the descriptions for those. So first up, we have a book called Something Like Home by Andrea Beatriz Arango, and it is a novel in verse, which I tend to really enjoy, especially if I listen to them on audio. Here's the description for this one, and it starts with some words from the story. Titi Silvia leaves me by myself to unpack, but it's not like I brought a bunch of stuff. How do you prepare for the unpreparable? How do you fit your whole life in one bag? And how am I supposed to trust social services when they won't trust me back? Laura Rodriguez Colon has a plan. No matter what the grown-ups say, she will live with her parents again. Can you blame her? It's tough to make friends as the new kid at school, and while staying out of her aunt's house is okay, it just isn't the same as being in her own space. So when Laura finds a puppy, it seems like fate. If she can train the puppy to become a therapy dog, then maybe she'll be allowed to visit her parents. Maybe the dog will help them get better, and things will finally go back to the way they should be. After all, how do you explain to others that you're technically a foster kid, even though you live with their aunt? And most importantly, how do you explain that you're not where you belong and you just want to go home? That's Something Like Home by Andrea Beatriz Arango, and it's currently out.
What's wrong with her parents? Parenting?
I'm not sure because I haven't read it yet. So you'd have to read to find out. And I'm not sure if it's something that they tell you in the beginning or find out at the end. Like, I recently read a graphic novel where you know that the mother is no longer with them, but you don't know exactly what happened until the end.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if that's like a end of book or beginning of book or middle of book disclosure. But
sorry.
That's okay.
I have a series that a bunch of people have probably read, and I've just been reading it, rereading it for like the fifth time. It's a 3 graphic novels by Raina Telgemeier called Guts, Smile, and Sisters. I don't think they're in that particular order, but and they're very good, and they're true stories, and they're about Raina who growing up, and they're pretty funny, and they have beautiful drawings. So I think for younger readers and for anyone who just wants a funny story.
Yeah, those are really great. I think they're fun because they have really good humor, as you mentioned, and the illustrations are fun and light, but then they also deal with real topics that people deal with in life.
Yeah.
So they're pretty relatable, and yeah, it's a good series. I like her books. I also liked Ghosts, which she wrote.
Yeah, I never finished it, but I started it with a friend. I think I was borrowing it. She also wrote drew for the Babysitter's Club, some of them, books. And I thought those were the best ones. And then I thought when they switched the illustrator, I thought they weren't as good anymore.
Mm. Yeah, that can be tricky. I've also never read the Babysitter's Club. The books, not the graphic novels, but the books, like the novels, were really popular when I was a kid. But for some reason, I never read them. And then when they started putting out graphic novel versions, I never, even though I love graphic novels, I never read them. I don't know. But I did watch some of the Netflix series, so I know a little bit about.
The series was really good. My mom, when I first went to my mom and I was like, can I read these books? I really want to, because my friends were all reading them. She got me the old, 90s novels, and I didn't want those. I wanted, the graphic novels, but slowly that changed. But I read a lot of them. Those were good.
Speaking of Netflix adaptations, I just recently binge-watched the adaptation for One Piece, which is a graphic novel series that's very popular that I've never read. I think it's more of a teen graphic novel series than middle grade, but it's a manga series, and there has been an animated adaptation of the manga, but this is a live action adaptation, and I thought it was really fun. I have no way of comparing it to the comics because I've never read them, but I thought the acting was really good. The world was creative and fun. The action was fun. I thought it was really great. But it's about a young pirate that is just starting off, and he's decided that he's going to find this long lost pirate treasure and become king of the pirates. But he doesn't have a crew yet or a boat or a map, so he has a lot to build. But he's a really fun character, and the people he surrounds himself are really fun too, as he's trying to build a crew. And highly suggested. I have another book I could mention. that I haven't read yet that just came out earlier this week that I'm looking forward to. It is a nonfiction book by an author who generally writes fiction, and she writes for all ages, like from board books for littles to, I guess she doesn't write for adults or teens yet, but she's written some books, middle grade books as well. And this one is called Chinese Menu, The History, Myths, and Legends Behind Your Favorite Foods. And it's by Grace Lin, who is just awesome. And she did both the writing and the illustrations for this book. And I'll read the description for this since I haven't read it yet. From fried dumplings to fortune cookies, here are the tales behind your favorite foods. Do you know the stories behind delectable dishes, like the fun connection between scallion pancakes and pizza, or how dumplings cured a village's frostbitten ears, or how wonton soup tells about the creation of the world? Separated into courses like a Chinese menu, these tales, based in real history and folklore, are filled with squabbling dragons, magical fruits, and hungry monks. This book will bring you to far-off times and marvelous places, all while making your mouth water. And along the way, you might just discover a deeper understanding of the resilience and triumph behind this food and what makes it undeniably American. So it's Chinese Menu, The History, Myths, and Legends Behind Your Favorite Foods by Grace Lin. I'm really looking forward to checking that out. I'm not sure if I'd read it cover to cover right away, unless I owned it, maybe. I don't know. But I feel like it'd be fun to at least like sample it like you would with a menu, like just pick a couple dishes and read about them.
Yeah. I have one more suggestion. Mm-hmm. It's a series, and my friend actually knows the author. They are friends, and it's called Katie the Cat Sitter, and it's a
I love that series.
Series, yeah. And it's really good, so I highly recommend that. And I think she's coming out with another book soon, but I have to ask my friend.
I forget. Now I'm blanking on if two or three have come out so far, but I've read them all.
Three, I think. She came out with, like, she's pretty much gone, like, one or two. No, sorry, one every year to 2 years. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, there's three.
Yeah, there's three. I have one, but they're really good. So I highly recommend those. Yeah.
Yeah, for our listeners who have not heard me or others talk about this on the show before, it's a really fun series by Colleen A.F. Venable, and it is about a kid named Katie who becomes a cat sitter, as the title says. Only she is cat sitting for a very large number of cats for her upstairs neighbor, and the cats have some very unique, special powers. Without spoiling too much, there's some like superhero stuff going on, as well as like regular everyday life kind of stuff in Katie's life.
Yeah.
Or in her family life. But the cats are super fun.
Yeah, I love the illustrations in books like these. They just make me feel like, oh, I wish I could draw like that.
Yeah. Well, I hope there is more from the series. I don't know if it, I think there's room for it there to be more, but I just don't know. Don't know her plan. I like Colleen A.F. Venable has some other great books that I've enjoyed. Kiss Number 8 is a teen graphic novel that's very good. She had a picture book called The Oboe Goes Boom Boom Boom, which was really fun. And then she has a whole bunch of other ones too that I haven't read. So many books. That's cool that your friend knows them. It's always nice to have connections with authors and illustrators that you can, you know, get inside scoops on stuff or ask them questions about their process. It's one of the reasons we love the Hudson Children's Book Festival so much.
I think played like Dunton. She had like a bunch of family friends, and one of them was Colleen, and they would play Dungeons and Dragons together on like Thursdays, but I think that ended. But and my aunt is an animator and an illustrator, and cool. She's done